But it says in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter and the 2nd verse, it says, "And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And the air," it says, "and the air of the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I called not,' lay down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son, lay down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called to Samuel again a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord hath called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as he did the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" 1 Corinthians 14 and 10 says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them are without significance. Lord Jesus, we ask you tonight that your spirit would move and flow. Lord, that you would speak to us tonight, O God, that you would lead us and guide us, that we would be sensitive to your voice and your will, Lord God. Lord, that you would anoint my lips of clay tonight, O God, that you would anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to take. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. I want to talk just a little bit tonight about the curse of a noisy life. It says in Romans 8, the 14th verse, "For as many that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." That if we are led by Him, that if we are sensitive to Him, that He considers us sons and daughters of God. Revelations makes the statement in Revelations 13 and 9. It says, "If any man have an ear, let him hear." That there's something about listening. There's something about being able to hear what it is that God is trying to say. I've found it that it's a whole lot easier to find a good talker than it is to find a good listener. I've got a buddy that I don't think he listens to anything that I say. He'll call me and we'll talk for a few minutes and he'll ask me, he's like, "You got anything good coming in on your cameras at the deer lease?" And I'll go telling him about this one and that one, and we got this one coming in and that one coming in. And as soon as I get done telling him, he'll ask me the same question. "You got anything good coming in on your cameras at the deer lease?" And I said, "We just told you." "Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right." I said, "You didn't listen to a word I said." Yeah, I did. I heard all about it." "You going hunting anytime soon?" "Well, we're planning on going hunting next weekend." "Oh, that's good." "You going hunting anytime soon?" "I just told you we're going hunting next weekend." And just some people, they just don't listen. It's easier just to talk. It's easier just to be distracted and talk about whatever you want to talk about. And finding a good listener can be hard to do. Especially if you're a man, we just listening is not our forte sometimes, and we just are not the greatest of listeners. I've had the opportunity to go to several different symphonies throughout the United States, and it's amazing that when you get there and you sit down and you begin to listen to them as they begin to play, the harmony and how beautiful the music is. That when you get all of these professionals that they line up and they sit side by side, and even though there could be hundreds of them and they all play different kinds of instruments, when they come together in one mind and one accord, that all of a sudden that there is beautiful music that is made, that there is harmony, that there is something that is beautiful that is created. If we came in here tonight and Brother Thompson sang his favorite song and my wife sang her favorite song and Brother Petrie played we all sang different songs and we played different instruments to whatever it was that we desired, it would be nothing but a bunch of chaos. Amen. That it would just be a mess. It would just be as everybody sang and played. That there wouldn't be any harmony. There wouldn't be any. Now, somebody over here might like the same song that somebody back there was singing. But they're too far apart. They're probably on different parts of the song in different places. And it would just be a mess. At one church that I worked at, we had a young lady that was very talented. And from time to time, she felt like she'd got anointed. And she'd jump out and just start doing her own song and her own thing. And it just created confusion. It didn't matter how good she was doing. Everybody would just stop and look and kind of cock their head. And just they couldn't figure out what was going on because she just started her own thing. And it created confusion, not anointing, not something that could be used for the glory of the kingdom of God. There was a man by the name of Wilson Goody. Wilson Goody was a black young man. And he was, as he grew up in school, they would tell him that it's time for you to take a course on learning some kind of a trade. They talked to him about it as he began to grow up in his sixth and seventh grade year, that it's time for you to start taking trade classes. And he would think about it and think about it. And finally, he would tell the teacher, I would like to continue taking courses. And they would continued taking courses. In junior high, they told him, it's time for you to continue your education in learning a trade so that when you graduate, you'll have a way to make money. And so he thought about it and he prayed about it and he came back and told him that he wanted to continue taking his courses. When he got to high school, they told him the same thing, that it is time for you to begin to take trade classes. And he said that, I don't feel like that's what God wants me to do. I want to continue taking my courses. And he graduated high school and they asked him, what kind of trade are you going to do? You haven't learned anything. And he said, I believe that God wants me to go to college. And so he began to go to college and he attended the university. He graduated and got a job and he became the first black mayor of Philadelphia. He was sitting down in an interview and one of the lady asked him, she said, how did you become so successful with everything that was working against you? You should not be here today. He said, you don't understand that every time they told me that I should do something else, I would go and pray and God would let me know what it was that he felt like, that I felt like God wanted me to do. He said that I just listened to the voice of God in my life. She asked him, how come do you think that less people hear the voice of God? And his remark was, is because they have too much noise in their life to hear God's voice. You know, noise is something that happens in our lives, whether we like it or not, no matter how much we try to control it, there's going to be noise. There's going to be things that demand our attention in our lives. You're going to have things on your job, things at your school, if you're a continuing education, things in your family, things people around you, things that might happen in your church that create noise, that create a distraction. There's something about it when something is loud, when something is annoying that you just can't get your eyes off of it. You can't. It doesn't matter how good your meal is. If somebody's car in the parking lot's alarm is going off, it's hard to really enjoy your alarm when you're worried about somebody trying to find their keys and shutting that alarm off. There's something about noise that distracts, that can keep our attention, that can try to keep us from being focused on what it is that we should be focusing on. Balaam was a man of God. Balaam was a man that was a prophet before there were prophets. He's an interesting character because he was not a Jew, but he had a relationship with God. Balak knew that he had power with God, and Balak sent men, he was the king of Moab, sent men to Balaam that he would curse the children of Israel. Balaam, as the princes came in and talked to him about it, he went into the back room and he began to pray. And as he prayed, he knew God and he knew the voice of God. And God spoke to Balaam and told him not to go with them. Balaam came out, he looked at them and he told them that I can't go with you. I'm sorry, this is something that I cannot do. And so they left and went back to Balak, the king of Moab, and told him. He sent another band of men with more money and more stuff. And again, they talked to him about coming. And again, he went and he prayed about it. This happened several times. And finally, as he went to pray about it, God finally told him, you can go with them, but you can only say what I tell you to say. And you can only do what I tell you to do. And Balaam got up and he went in and he told them that I can go with you and that I will meet you. And as every time that they came, they brought more money, they brought more promises, they brought more things, they brought more gifts to Balaam. You would think that the first time that God told him no, that he could reach back to that moment in time and realize that, you know what, God hasn't changed and his word hasn't changed, so there's really no reason for me to go and pray about it again. There's really no reason for me to go and try to push God in a direction that would be comfortable for me. Because evidently this man that knew God, this man that could hear the voice of God, this man that had a relationship with God, something happened as he began to see the money as it fell, as they began to shake the bags of money and he could hear it, as they began to break out deeds to property and lay it on the table and promises of things to come if he did what they asked them to do, that there was something that began to distract him. There was something that became louder than the voice of God in his life. Because the moment that he climbed on the donkey and he began to make his way towards King Balak, there was an angel that was angry in the middle of the road with a fiery sword. We know the story as Balaam began to make his way, that the donkey veered out into a field to avoid the angel. He got the donkey back into the road, and the donkey veered and smashed him into a wall as he tried to avoid the angel with a sword. Balaam did everything he could to get this donkey back on the road, and finally the donkey laid down in the middle of the road and began to talk to him. The donkey looked at him and said, and if I found a talking donkey, I'd be headed to the circus, because we have found our payday right now. And so this donkey starts talking to him and tells him, have I ever done anything to you since I was a colt? I've never hurt you. I've never gone against you. I've never tried to do anything. And here you are, you're beating me, you're hurting me, and I've never done anything to you. And he looks up and he sees this angel standing in the middle of the road. He heard the voice of God that told him not to go the first time. He now has a donkey talking to him. He now sees an angel in the middle of the road that has a sword that is ready to smite him. You would think that that would have gotten his attention. You would think that through all of this, that this would be something that would have changed his mind. That if a donkey told you that, some of us say, well, if God would just have a writing on the wall, then I would listen. If this would happen, if that song would play, if the preacher would just say this, if somebody would come and prophesy this to me, and if all of the stars would align, then we could listen. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes there's just too many voices going on in our life. All that he could hear at that moment was the sound of money. All that he could hear was the sound of deeds being laid across the table as the properties that he was going to own. It didn't matter what God said. It didn't matter what the donkey said. It didn't matter what the angel was doing. All he could think about is what he was going to receive. As he got to King Balak and they begin to create the atmosphere for him to curse the Israelites, every time that he would speak, only blessings would come out of his mouth. They would offer him more money. They were angry with him. They said that we've already paid you. What is the problem? And again, he would try to curse the Israelites after what God said, after what the donkey said, after what the angel had done. Here he is still trying to curse the Israelites, and nothing but blessings come out of his mouth. Finally, he understands that there are no words that he can say that he can curse the children of Israel. You read later on that he begins to work with King Balak, that he explains to King Balak that if you can get them to eat food that was sacrificed unto idols, that they would be cursed. And that if you can send prostitutes into the camp and if you can get them to begin to commit adultery, then they would be cursed. Here he is. He can't say the words as he begins to try it. He can't, in all the things that had happened, you would think that at moment in time that something would have gotten his attention, but it never did. We read that Balaam, a man that had a relationship with God, a man that could hear the voice of God, a man that could be used of God, a man that was a prophet before there were literally prophets of God, a man that was not an Israelite but somehow, some way had an encounter with God, died on the battlefield because it didn't matter where he used to be. At that moment, all he could hear is himself and what he wanted, and the sound of money, and the things in his life. The noise of life. You know, if you take two dogs, and you pin one up in one pen, and you feed him steaks and mashed potatoes for 3 months, and you put the other in another pen, and you throw a Snickers in every morning, and at the end of the day, you let them get together and wrestle it out, which one of them's going to win? It's going to be the one that's been fed the most, and that's been fed the best. And it's the same way in our lives. You know, we see the pictures where we got the little angel on one shoulder and the little devil on the other shoulder, and there's a war going on between the two of them. If we feed one more than the other, that's the one that's going to be the most strongest in our life. It doesn't matter how powerful and awesome God is, if we don't listen to him, if we don't follow him, if we're not sensitive to him, if all we can hear is the world and the things of this world, it begins to create which one of them is stronger in our own lives. The scripture talks in Ephesians 6 and 16 about fiery darts. What is a fiery dart? A fiery dart is something that hinders your walk with God. That is something that weakens your walk with God. It is something that brings your walk with God to a halt, that slows it down, that brings it literally useless to you. We read tonight as Samuel, as he laid in his bed and God began to speak to Samuel. Samuel had no idea who it was or what was going on. Samuel would get up and he would run into the prophet, into the priest Eli's room, and he would ask him, "Here I am, what is it that you need?" And three times this happened. And finally, we read that he tells him to go back to bed and he perceives that it was God that was trying to get Samuel's attention. And he tells him to say, "Lord, here I am, thy servant heareth." And the scripture that we read tonight says that when he was prepared to hear, God came and stood close to him. The other three times that God spoke to Samuel that night, it was just a spoken word to him. But when Samuel was in position to be able to hear what it was that God had to say, the scripture says that God came and stood near him. There's something about when we're in a position to hear God, that God can be close to us, that God can be near and dear to us, that there's something about it when we're in a position to be able to hear God, that he can come and come close to us. I hear people saying, "I need a word from God. I need God to speak into my life. I need God to say something to me. I need him to give me direction." But the truth of the matter is it's not that God's not talking to us. The question is, are we listening? It's not that God doesn't have a word for us, are we listening? It's not that God's not concerned about what job you take or how you raise your children or the decisions that you make. God is interested in every decision of our life. You can pray about which doctor to go to. You can pray about which car to buy. You can talk to God about which bank to use. He doesn't care how small your problem is or how big it is. The scripture says, cast your cares upon him. That's not your big cares, it's every care. It's not just something small, it's everything. God, I know this might seem dumb to everybody else, but Lord Jesus, I need you to help me today. I've got a decision that I've got to make today, and it might not be that big of a deal, but it could be in years to come, and I need you to help me with this decision. But if we're not in a position to listen, it's hard for him to ever talk back to us. It's not that he's not talking, it's whether or not we're listening. It's whether or not that we can hear above all the other noise that's going on in our lives. I have a buddy that used to play guitar with Chet Atkins. He's a master guitarist. He's played on several different CDs and different things with them, and goes to all kinds of different events. They ask him to play, and we were standing in a pawn shop one afternoon. Now, when it comes to me and a guitar, sometimes I don't even know which end is the end you hold. I'm not a guitar player. And he would go through and just take them off the wall and just play and play. And people would gather around and look and watch that knew anything about guitars. And he came across one and he looked at me. He said, "I'm fixing to steal that guitar right there." He said, "That guitar's worth a lot of money." And he took it down and they told him the price of it. And he was excited. He looked at me and he said, "I'm about to steal this guitar." And he would begin to play, and all of a sudden he'd hit a note. He would play all these different notes, just classical guitar, all up and down this guitar. And he would hit a note, and all of a sudden his face made this grimace, and he pulled back from the guitar and just looked at it with disgust. He messed with it, and he turned all the knobs, and he messed with it and tuned it and went up and down and ran on each one of the strings. And he played it again, and he came back to that same note, and the same look came up on his face, the same frustration that he looked at that guitar with disgust. And he looked at the man behind the counter, and he said, "Did you hear that?" And he said, "No, I didn't hear it. It sounds fine to me." He says, "This guitar is off." And he kept playing it, and he kept playing it, and he kept playing it. And he said, "It's off. It's no good." And he handed it back to him. He says, "It's not worth what I thought it was. Something's wrong with this guitar." And he left it sitting there. The guitar was worth thousands more than what the man was asking it for, but he didn't want it because there was something wrong with it. I later found out that he went and contacted the company, and the company let him know that if there was something wrong, they'd fix it. So he went back and bought it, and sure enough, the company had to realign and do some things to get it back to the way that it was supposed to sound. There's something about somebody that has an ear for that they can hear it. There's something about somebody that has that talent that they can hear something and they know when it's off. They know when something's not right. I can stand in a church service and, man, I can be just fine with all the music and worshiping God, and it sounds beautiful. And afterwards, you hear the musicians, him hawing around, and that was terrible, terrible. And because there's something that they hear, there's something that they know. They know when it's not exactly the way that it's supposed to be. In college, I had a professor that was a master flute player that he traveled the nation. He was retired, but if a symphony had a flute player sick, that they would literally fly him in to play in the symphonies, and he would travel all over the world. He was a very unique individual. It was an interesting class to be a part of. And he was just satisfied being retired, you know, just teaching music at the University of Stephen F. Austin. And so one day he began to tell us that he had purchased a machine that he would place his flute inside of it, and that he was so concerned about the sound that was made by that flute that this machine, it would heat the flute up and it would literally shake the flute at massive amounts of speed. And to me, that I mean, what are we doing, shaking up paint? I mean, seriously, it's a flute. But it would make it to a place that the molecules would align inside that flute, creating the purest sound that it could be made. That people would come and pay him to use this machine because of how much that he had paid for it and what it was capable of doing to align the molecules inside of a flute to be able to create the exact sound that he knew that flute was capable of making. They asked a priest what the voice of God sounds like, a Jewish rabbi. And he wrote in a statement as he was asked what the word, what God sounds like. We all want to know the voice of God. What does God sound like? Because, you know, does he speak audibly? Is it an impression? Is it something that, you know, what is the voice of God? It can be different for everybody in this room. But the interviewer asked this Jewish rabbi, what does the voice of God sound like? And he likened it unto this. He said, if you take a pitcher of water and you pour it into the sink, he says you can hear it as it splashes and the sound of it as it hits into the bottom of it and the different sounds that are made. If you pour it into a pan, you can hear as that water is poured and the sound of that water is pouring. He said, but if you take a vial of oil and you take that same pot and you pour that oil into that pot, he says it's a completely different sound. He says if you're going to hear it, you're going to have to want to hear it. If you're going to hear it, there's going to have to be you're going to have to be close. You're going to have to make sure that all the other sounds in the house are turned off. You're going to have to make sure that everything else is quieted if you're going to want to hear what it is that sounds like. Elijah stood in the cave and God approached, and the scripture says that there was wind, but God was not in the wind. He says that there was fire, but God was not in the fire. He says that there was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. As he stood there, and all of these things that were going on, all of the sounds and noises that were happening, and then the word of God says that he came as a still, small voice. Elijah had just called fire down from heaven a few days earlier. He had ran before and found out that Jezebel wanted to kill him, and he ran for his life and he asked God to kill him. He was out in the wilderness and God had to feed him, and then God spoke to him and told him to go to a certain place, a place that he could get him away from everything else, where he could get him to a place that he could speak into his life. You've probably heard the story. I don't know if it's a true story or if it's just an old Indian tale. There was a country boy and the two country boys, and one of them went off to college and grew up and graduated and got into banking and ended up in New York City and was a success. The other one took his dad's farm and lived on the farm. And they stayed in touch. The one that moved to the city would come home at Christmas and they would spend time together. They would go on vacations from time to time throughout the years. They stayed close. And finally, the one that moved to New York convinced his friend that he needed to come to New York. He showed up and they're walking down the street and the hustle and the bustle and people running into each other. And my wife has a strong desire to go to New York. I have no desire to go. I'd rather go to the Grand Canyon and look at something beautiful. But she wants to see the Christmas trees and ice skate and go to Central Park. And the hustle and the bustle of all of it, just people going everywhere and bumping shoulders and pushing and just scurrying about getting from one place to the other. And they walked by a hotel, and all of a sudden the country boy stopped and said, there's a cricket over there in that bush. He looked at him and said, there's no cricket there. I said, you can't hear a cricket, there's too much noise going on. And the young man walked over and began to scurry around in the dirt below the bush, and he reached in and pulled out a cricket and opened his hand as that cricket jumped out. His buddy looked at him and said, how on earth did you ever hear that? He said, it's just all dependent on what you're listening to. And he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a handful of change, and he stepped back and dropped it in the middle of that pavement. And as the change hit the ground and bounced, people from everywhere turned and looked. People across the street, even with the taxis, even could hear that something had fallen that sounded like something that they might be interested in. It's all according to what you're listening to. In life, there's all kinds of noises. You're going to get noise from your family. You're going to get noise on your job. You're going to get noise with your friends. You're going to get noise from church. You're going to get noise within your own marriage. You're going to have things that go on in your life. You might even go to the doctor, and the things that he tells you creates noise in your life. You can't control what music is placed in your life. You can't control the things that are placed there, the things that are... You can't control what it is that is placed in your life sometimes. But you do control what makes the most noise at certain times in your life. There are moments in your life that your family needs to be the most important thing at that time. And at that moment in time, you've got to be able to try to quiet all the other sounds that are going on in your life. If it's time for your family to be the most important, but all that you can hear is what's going on your job, then you're not doing the part that you need to your family. If it's a moment in time that it's time for you to slow your day down and it's time for you to spend time with God, but the only thing that you can hear is what's going on in the rest of your world, then that's the only thing that you're going to be able to think about and be distracted by. There's got to be something that you say, you know what, I may not control the music that comes across in front of me, but I do control what plays at a certain time. As you watch a conductor, as he can reach back to the cornet section and he can call it louder as they begin to play louder, he can look over at the flutes and he can tell them to quiet down. He can reach back to the drums and he can, at their moment in time, bring them up to a place that you hear the pounding of the drums, and then he can push them back as they quiet down, as the strings begin to make their noise. There's something about it as there becomes a harmony, is when life brings you different things, that it has its moment in times that you may not be able to avoid it, but you can control how much noise that it makes in your life. That we've got to understand, you know what? That there are things in my life that I cannot control, but I can control how much noise they create in my life. I can control how distracted they make me to be. I can control what it is that distracts me. It may be something that you struggle with in your life. It might be something that nobody else knows about, but it is something that is constantly making noise. When I say noise, it's something that is on your mind. It is something that distracts you. It is something that even when you're with your family, you're thinking of that. You're struggling with that. Even when you're on your job, that it doesn't take long for it to be brought back to that thing or whatever it is. That there's something that distracts. There's something that creates the noise that creates confusion in our life. The scripture says that God is not the author of confusion. He's not. But we live lives that are so confusing. We live lives that you just watch people as it's a rat race. It's a hustle and bustle back and forth. It's to this and to that. It's to get this, to obtain that, to have this, to be able to do that. I'm going to work an extra 20. I got a young man that I've been working with that he makes $25 an hour and he has to work 80 hours a week to pay his bills. His wife is a school teacher and she makes decent money, and they have to work every hour they can just to pay the bills to get by. They don't live in a big house. They don't drive immaculate nice cars, but somehow, some way, they have nothing. If he misses a paycheck, they can't even make it the next week. He is so distracted with all of the other stuff that's going on. I can't make it to church. I'm sorry, Pastor. I got to work another 10 hours this week, and I'm going to be working overtime. I'm sorry that I'm not going to be able to be involved. I want to be involved. I want my family to be at church, but I got to pay my bills. How can you not pay your bills? Where is all of this going? Something is going. There's a noise that is greater than what is important in his life. There's a noise somewhere that's greater than his family, because that noise causes him to do whatever it has going on that causes him to have to work the hours that he has to work to pay the bills. He has three awesome young boys, an awesome wife, but he's too busy with other noises in his life that are not near as important is the ones that should be important in his life. We've all got noises, but we get to choose when they're important, when they're not important, what needs to go away and never come back. The oboes need to leave and never be found again. You have that power in your life to determine what it is that makes the most noise. And when you find that balance, when you're all right, I need God to be the center of all of this. I need my family to be right there next close. I need to make sure that everything that is important. There's something about it that when you begin to put all of that noise where it belongs, it can become something beautiful. It can become a life that other people look at and say, I wish I had what they had. It can become a life that when people look at it, they, I don't understand how they get it together like that. I don't know. How do they do what they do? How do they find the happiness and the peace that they find? It's because somewhere along the way they found what's supposed to make noise when it's supposed to and what's not when it's supposed to. If we're not careful, the things that make the most noise, it might just be a distraction right now. It might just be something that is, it's just an annoyance at the moment. I know that I need to take care of this, but right now at this moment in time in my life, this is what I've got to take care of. I know that I need to God to be first in my life, but right now I've got some bills that I need to pay. I need to make while the making's good. I know that God needs, but I'm tired and I'm wore out and I've got some other things that I need to do. And if we're not careful, the noise that just seems like a distraction right now can become the cadence of our life. If we're not careful, the noise that distracts us now, that is just a distraction, if we're not careful, if we allow it to stay there long enough, it can become the very beat to the way of life that we live. I watch people as things begin to happen in their lives, as they begin to struggle with their walk with God, and good people, people that love God, people like Balaam that had a relationship with God, that could hear the voice of God, but somehow, some way, there became another sound that became a distraction. Balaam would have never told you, I'll die on the battlefield one day fighting for an idolatrous king. Balaam probably would have never told you that I'm going to do everything that I can to curse the people of Israel no matter what it takes. But that distraction, that sound, that noise that just seemed like something small at first that he could say no to, eventually became the cadence that he marched to in his life. Lord Jesus, these are good people. These are people that love you. These are people that want you to be able to look at them one day and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But God, this life that we live, God, it's different, God. There's something about it now that it is so busy that it doesn't matter how we try to slow down. It doesn't matter if we go on vacation for a month, that when we come back, it's like nothing stopped. Everything is still running full speed ahead. We've got family, we've got grandchildren, we've got children, we've got work, we've got jobs, we've got bills, we've got mortgages, we've got things that are going on, we've got baseball practice and football practice, we've got to meet with this group, we've got to be a part of that club, we've got to make enough money to go on this vacation, we've got to make sure that toy's paid for this month, and before it's all said and done, good people can begin to hear the sounds of other stuff. So Lord Jesus, we ask you tonight, God, that you would help us. Help us to make sure that your voice is one that we can hear. Lord, that it is your voice that is the loudest, that even though that it can be the quietest sometimes, that we make sure that everything else has its place, that we can live in a way that we can hear you. That our family, that our friends, the things that are important become the things that create the amount of music and the harmony that we need in our lives, Jesus. That we could be sensitive to your voice and to your spirit. Because his word says that if we are sensitive to his spirit and we follow his spirit, that we are sons and we are daughters of God. And that's what we want to be here tonight. God, that we could hear your voice. That you wouldn't have to get a blowhorn or a stick of dynamite to get our attention, but God, that we could slow everything down and say, God, here am I. Thy servant heareth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every one of us has noise somewhere that comes from someplace. And there are some noises that we can get rid of. And there are some noises that are going to be there no matter how much we want them to be gone or we want them to go away. But we've got to understand that we have the power to control how loud that noise is going to be in our lives. You have the power to control how loud and how much distraction is going to be there and what's going to have the main part, what's going to be secondary, what's going to be third, what's going to be fourth, when this is going to play and when that's going to play and when that needs to quiet, when that needs to take center stage. Amen. As you go through the rest of your week, I want you to think about it. As you sit on your job this week and all of a sudden you begin to have something that begins to overcome your thoughts. Maybe it's that thing when you wake up in the morning and your feet hit the ground. It's the first thought that runs through your mind and it's just like a weight, a heaviness. You know what? I'm going to give this to Jesus. You don't deserve this much attention in my life. You've had way too big a part in this symphony for too long. And I'm going to just move you over here. There's nothing I can do. You're going to make noise, but I'm going to make sure that there's going to be other things. You can have noise in your life that can still be a part of harmony. Amen? That can still mesh and be a part, and that there can be peace and harmony in your life, even though things are not perfect in your world. A peace that passeth all understanding. But the only way that that can happen is if we understand that everything has its place. For there are many voices, the scriptures we read said, and they're not all, and they're all with, they all have significance. And we've got to understand which ones has their place. And where they go, and what we've got to do with them. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. I want to be pleasing to God, and it's hard to be pleasing when we're distracted. It's hard to be sensitive to God when all I can think about is everything else that's going on in my world. The things that are making the most noise in my life are the things that I end up giving the most attention to. If I can understand, you know what? I choose how loud you get to be. And I choose to allow God to be the main part of this. I choose my family to be a part of the main part of this. I choose the things that are important, the things that I need to be the main part of this life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember Sunday night we're going to gather here. Whoever wants to play dominoes is going to get beat real bad. And we're going to have a great time and a lot of fun. And we're going to have a good time. You know, fellowship is a big part of being a part of the church. And you read about the church of Acts. They had church, they ate, and they fellowshipped. And so it's important to get together and enjoy good Christian fellowship and fun and camaraderie and being a part of the church. Not just coming in and worshiping together, but having fun together, getting to know each other, having a big time. people getting beat at dominoes. It's just part of life. It happens. And just having a lot of fun together. Remember, Sunday morning, we'll be here. Thank you all so much for your She's for Christ giving. We gave a good offering. Louisiana came in second. They raised the biggest offering they ever raised this year, though, at $345,000, I believe. So that's awesome. And hallelujah. That's I think it was $65,000 more than raised last year. And so we're a part of that. Amen. There's going to be missionaries driving cars because we gave in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're dismissed tonight. And Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we're going to have a great time in the Holy Ghost around here. Bring your friends. Remember, October the 12th, we're going to have Family Friend Day. Bring your family. Bring your friends. We're going to have a good time in here Sunday morning, and then we're going to get fat and happy as soon as it's over. And have a great time. Amen. You're dismissed.